Welcome to the Forging Honor Podcast. I'm Jonathan George.
And I'm Benjamin Jones. Here at The Forge, we explore what it means to live as Christian men. Along the way, we'll be doing challenges, building habits and character through action.
In this episode, we wrap up our challenge by talking about rituals that we've instated over the last 6 weeks, about monotasking, and about havens in our lives. All right. It is challenge check-in time. As a reminder, challenges last for 6 weeks. That's 42 days. They are simple daily tasks to grow us as Christian men. And the current challenge is all about ritual and responsibility. The challenge itself was to spend time each day engaged in a ritual that highlighted responsibility in your life or helped you take responsibility in your life. So Banjo, final week, how did it go?
Final week was maintaining the averages. I think it was about 4 out of 5. Did some traveling this week, was in some different spots. So didn't do some of my normal routine, but I was able to find ways to put some of the old rituals into new places. And that was lots of fun, adding some regional flavor to some of my regular scheduled rituals. How about you? How was it this week?
Solid. Also somewhat maintaining that average. I missed one day. I was thinking through it and checking. I probably missed on average like 1.5 days out of each week. So overall, solid for me. Felt like this last week went well. You mentioned kind of bringing old rituals into new places. We wrapped up our last episode talking about some of the adjustments that we were making going into this last week. And I remember that was something you specifically mentioned. What were some examples and what did you learn from that?
Yeah, one that jumps to mind is I was in the mountains of New Hampshire with some of my extended family this week, some of my wife's extended family, I guess I should say, and I was out by a New Hampshire lake, and went with my father-in-law and brother-in-law. And we had a smoke by the lakeside, which was quite lovely. And one morning, I had a nice smoke with my brother-in-law. I taught him his first pipe. Brought him into the world of pipes.
That's awesome. It's always wonderful to bring someone into this art form.
It is. What's funny is I realized that I have not taught someone how to smoke a pipe before. I've only been taught. I've always been the learner and never the teacher. And so it was a little bit different to try. I had to like go back into the recesses of my memory and try to remember, recall how it was that I was taught how to do it. And so it was fun. It felt like, you know, a lot of the rituals that we did over this weekend or over these weeks, I should say, were very like, this is one that you do every day or every couple of days. It was very regular. But the ritual of teaching someone how to smoke a pipe feels like those like a couple times in your life things that you're going to do, you know? And so it felt cool. You know, I talked about how one of the things I wanted to do this week was to not overthink the ritual process and like not to pre-map and predetermine all of those elements. And that moment for me, especially thinking about that moment with my brother-in-law where I was teaching him how to smoke, really felt like, you know, looking back, it felt like, oh, that's a ritual that I got to participate in, especially because most of what I was doing was borrowing from the language that other people had given me in that process. And as I thought back about how I had learned that skill, which is a little bit like you're talking about, it is a little bit of an art form. Like everybody does it in their own particular way and has their own particular flavor to it. And knowing that I was going to like take that from what other people had given to me and give it to my brother-in-law, there was something special about that, especially where it was that it was taking place, and how we were doing it. You know, we had a cup of coffee. I had my Bible with me because I was doing my morning Bible reading and my Valley of Vision and whatnot. And like the place was perfect, the time was perfect. It was just us. You know, it felt very secluded, and so it just felt like getting to participate in that kind of a strange thing. I think, you know, the pipe is no longer the, as common as it once was. And it's got this really, you know, it's really quaint. It's really old fashioned. And to get to pass that tradition on to somebody else, I think was really, it was really special and a lot of fun. So that was kind of like the big, I don't know, the big ritual that comes to mind that was a little bit different. I don't know if you have a similar experience. That.
No, I love the teaching someone to smoke a pipe as a ritual. And it's cool because I've been thinking about continuing to think about what really are we talking about when we talk about ritual. Mm-hmm. And I was, and I think that actually speaks to it in a great way. I was going back looking at some texts that I sent you because I sent you this. It was an episode from Cal Newport's podcast called Deep Questions. And it was an episode 302, Reenchanting Work. And so he talks about in this episode, it's all about adventure working.
Right.
So like, it's kind of what you're talking about. Going out, there's these rituals about he's going to go out and he's going to do some of his deep work, some of his deep thinking by a waterfall or in a library, a place that kind of calls his mind to something other than a cubicle with fluorescent lighting or whatever.
Draws him out of the regular, the mundane.
Exactly. So calling your mind to these higher things, you know, getting away from the fluorescent lighting and the cubicle and the things that like they can be fine on their own, right? It's a work environment. There is something about going to a work environment that gets your head in that place. But when you're trying to do some of, as he terms it, deep work, deep thinking, especially the kind of the knowledge work world.
Is it like creative work, especially?
Creative. He's a teacher. He's a professor. Okay. I think computer science, and he's all about finding ways. He's all about trying to be, you know, quote unquote, like more productive, but not in like the strict efficiency sense. It's to be more productive with his work so that he can live, as he frames it, the deep life. Mm-hmm. So it's a really interesting, you should definitely check out the podcast if you haven't, but this particular episode, he answers a question on, you know, what is the difference between, a ritual and simply a discipline, right? A ritual and simply something you do.
Discipline is similar to what we would talk about in terms of habit.
A little bit, a more intentional habit, probably. Like there's a self it's a self-imposed in a way.
Sure, sure.
And so he digs into that. I would encourage folks, go check out that episode. I think I already mentioned the title.
Yep. 302.
Episode 302, Reenchanting Work. Definitely worth checking out. If you go, the question is at 3408 in the show, what is the difference between discipline and rituals? But one of the things he digs into is, you know, the rituals are a little bit like the discipline helps open up the space for the rituals a little bit, which I think is an interesting idea. And I think that's kind of what you're going to a little bit, or when you're talking about the pipe and teaching someone to smoke a pipe, like there's a ritual, there's something that is a little bit deeper than simply smoking your pipe. I don't even know. I don't quite know exactly what I'm getting at, but like, you see what I'm talking about?
I mean, you have to teach certain things in that ritual. And, you know, and I think this is kind of what we're talking about, to tie it to our overarching theme, which was, you know, taking the idea from our exercise episode and talking about, you know, being responsible. In the exercise episode, we were talking about being responsible with your body. And then trying to take that idea and thinking about how do we practice responsibility? How do we get better at responsibility? And the whole idea of ritual is, you know, kind of slowing down to recognize your agency in a moment. That's been my thesis or thing I'm meditating on over the last couple of weeks. And examining the ritual of like learning to smoke a pipe, it's very different from kind of other forms of nicotine consumption. You know, if you compare it to like a cigarette or a cigar, maybe like the two more popular ones. Or even like a chew kind of a situation. And this is like not definitive at all or expert at all, but just kind of my own thinking on it. Like the cigarette is very like addictive. Like you're it's anxious, you know, you're like sucking it in. It has to go all the way kind of into your lungs, in order for it to work. Nobody ever looks relaxed smoking a cigarette unless you're like James Bond from, you know, something like that.
Or Frank Sinatra.
Yes. Exceptions that prove the rule. Or the cigar is also great, but the cigar is much more convenient than the than the pipe. You know, somebody's rolled it for you. You can like recognize great craftsmanship. But the thing that's great about a pipe is you have to be the craftsman a little bit. You know, you still recognize the craftsmanship in the pipe itself. Like there has to be great craft work that's gone into making the pipe. But even more than that, you know, you have to pack the bowl. You have to light it. You have to do all these different elements of it to make it. You have to maintain the pipe, stuff like that. And so someone who's never learned how to smoke a pipe before doesn't know these things, doesn't know how to smoke the pipe, which smoking the pipe itself is a different method than a cigarette or than a cigar. And trying to teach somebody how to do that is kind of difficult because you're asking them to do something that they've never really had experience in. And the hardest part to me is teaching someone to slow down and teaching someone to enjoy the pipe and trying to communicate like, you know, you sip it, like you're right. You're just taking it a little bit. It's a taste. It's not a, like, you're not chugging it, you know, you're just right. Tasting it. And I think it's great. Here's a quote that's going to get taken out of context. I think it's great for young men to learn to smoke a pipe. Because
that definitely will. Yeah.
Because it teaches you patience. Like you you have to be so patient with a pipe. And I don't know about it for you, JJ, but for me, there's always a moment when I'm smoking a pipe, usually probably like in the second bowl, where just I feel my shoulders untense. Like all of the weight goes out of my body. And I feel like even though I'm taking in this nicotine and tobacco and smoke, which is supposed to like make me feel like I shouldn't be breathing as easy as I am with a pipe. Like all of a sudden, somewhere in there, I feel like I can breathe normal, almost like when I'm running. Like there's always this strange comparison for me in those things. So anyway, right. trying to teach someone else that who is just puffing away, you know, looking like a choo-choo train or something, teaching them to just enjoy the thing and enjoy the ritual of it, enjoy the patterns, enjoy the patterns so they can see the substance. Do you know what I mean? And the great thing about a pipe is it's never about, you know, you don't spend the time thinking about the pipe. You think about, right. You think about the world around you, you know? And so trying to draw the attention away actually from the pipe to the lake that we're on or the coffee that we're drinking so that the pipe becomes the conduit. You know, these are the ritual moments.
Totally. All these comments make me think of a great article. I may have sent it to you before. I don't know. It's published in First Things all the way back in 1997 by Michael P. Foley. And he talks about exactly what you're talking about, the differences between cigarettes, cigars, and a pipe. Mm-hmm. And just to, like, I'm not going to read his whole paragraph here, but he says cigarettes correspond to the appetitive part of the soul. Mm. Cigars correspond to the spirited part of the soul. And a pipe corresponds to the rational part of the soul.
Wow, so, the Platonic ideals. The article
is very long, really digs into each of these. It's really
That's
fun.
Great.
You should definitely read it. But it's why, like, I have a simple few rules for myself as far as pipes and cigars and like when I enjoy them. Mm-hmm. Like a cigar is to be enjoyed over a conversation. And a pipe is to be enjoyed over thought. Like that's one of my rules.
That's your rules.
Another is
this? Yeah. Go ahead.
Another is like a cigar can be enjoyed. Part of it is the fellowship thing over conversation. So I typically, if I'm going to have a cigar, which these days is less often than it was at one point when I was first getting into them. Like if I'm going to have a cigar, it's usually on a Sunday afternoon with other people, we're fellowshipping in some way, versus a pipe is a much more, if I want to smoke, you know, it's there, it's available to me. And maybe I'm just sitting on my back porch quietly with my wife. Like a very different scenario. Anyway, all that to say, like, there are definitely certain, as it were, rituals surrounding each of these items. But we digress from ritual as a whole, unless you have something to add here at the end.
Well, I was just going to ask you, you know, these wrap-up episodes are a chance for us to look back and to, like, see how our thought process has changed over the last few weeks. You know, as you're thinking about even the pipe smoking, you know, it sounded like a lot of the ways that you have processed this challenge has been in like change, like changing your perspective on what we were doing and thinking differently about it, even maybe in the context of the pipe. You know, how is your thinking changed about what we're doing.
You know, it's interesting. This challenge for me, you know, we've asked in previous times, one of our questions at the end of a challenge might be, is this something we're going to continue doing or something that we feel is worth to continue doing?
Right.
And this has been one of the few challenges I feel like where I'm not sure how to answer that question. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's usually either a solid yes for most of our challenges, or it's a tentative no, like, I don't know, you know, this just wasn't for me. And like, that's fine. This one, I'm not sure if it's a yes or a no.
Yeah.
Partly because my perspective on it has changed pretty dramatically over the course of the last, last six weeks. And one of those specific things that I've pulled out of this is less about like the ritual and delving into the individual task and more about learning to monotask better. Mm-hmm. So I mentioned this to you, when we were prepping for this episode, and I don't know if it's because I was more focused on the individual, like when I'm doing the ritual, I have to be more focused. It has to be more monotask. You know, I have to put away distractions. Actually, it probably is why. What's interesting is, this is actually an idea I've gotten both from Art of Manliness and Cal Newport, which is monotasking is just much better for you in general.
Yeah.
Multitasking, one, it's a lie that we can multitask. You know, we fool ourselves into thinking we can. Really what we're doing is rapid task switching, which is not the same as truly multitasking, right? Our brain is only focusing on one thing at a time, right? You're either focused on driving or texting, and you're just rapidly switching back and forth. Mm-hmm. You're either focused on email or coding, and you're just rapidly switching back and forth. And at least for my context, that's what I'm doing. And for you, you know, you're either focusing on writing or prepping for your class, or I don't know what your day-to-day looks like in that sense.
Well, I used to, when I was prepping for a test, when I was getting ready for a test in college, I would often put on like a terrible movie in the background and study. And I was like, I'm multitasking. But really what I was doing is like you're saying, it was like the right. movie either served as like white noise or like a quick break. But it was quickly switching. It was not doing the, I'm on the one thing.
Right. Well, so this ritual thing has helped me to realize, okay, even if I'm not entirely sure about the definition of a ritual, or I'm not entirely sure that what I'm doing is exactly the purpose of what we're meaning, you know, it's not exactly highlighting responsibility or something, at least I'm focusing on it a lot more so than I was prior to doing this. So if I'm going to continue doing anything, it is the attempt to be more focused, be a more focused monotasker, as it were. I'm not sure I'll continue referring to it as like, well, this is my ritual surrounding this thing of my work or, you know, this part of my day. And I don't think I'm going to be thinking about it in those terms. But that is a valuable lesson I've learned.
Yeah.
Is the monotasking.
I like that. I think I wish I had thought of the word monotasking when I was pitching the idea, because I think that would have been a little bit more, that would have been a little bit closer to what I was aiming for.
Yes.
In the challenge design. Because all the things you're talking about is the stuff that I was like hoping we would get out of the challenge, where it's like we're recognizing that like we you know too often try to do too many things at once. We too often try to like juggle the 15 things, and that really takes us out of I think you know being human beings, which are finite and limited, and I think the value of a ritual is it really hones you in on the one task. You really have to focus on that one thing. And I think, at least for myself, I've found that can be really, especially the beginning of the challenge, I think that can be really difficult because we're so, you know, Jedi mind tricked nowadays into doing
what a term. I've been yeah. Jedi mind tricked into whatever thing.
Into doing 73 things at once, you know, and so addicted to the, you know, to the feeling of novelty, you know, and of constant like task refresh, you know.
Right, right.
If I'm at home, I never feel like I can do one thing at a time. Like I always feel like I have to either be listening to a podcast and doing the dishes, or watching a YouTube video and doing the dishes, or you know, watching TV and playing a game on my phone, or you know, playing a board game and listening to the stuff. Like, it's just always multiple tasks.
So here's a question though. Is it wrong to take some of those more mundane, mindless tasks and attach something to them, such as a podcast or good music, like when we're doing dishes or driving or folding laundry, whatever, what have you?
I don't think it's a wrong thing to do. I think it is. So I'm always curious about like creativity, you know, and like how do we become more creative? And like, what is the difference between our time for creativity and like the past, like the way that I do something versus the way Mark Twain did something, you know?
Right.
And in some of the things that I've read about these things, a lot of things that people point back to is, well, Mark Twain didn't have an extra thing to do while he was doing the dishes. The only thing he had to do was think, you know, or talk to somebody else.
I mean, maybe he had a conversation like, and so maybe there's a litmus test. If you could replace this with, if the other options include things like you could talk to someone else, or you could carry a full conversation, maybe that is a time and place where a podcast fits in easily. Right.
Yeah, maybe.
Because there, that's, I mean, it's kind of a one-sided conversation, but you're absorbing quality information theoretically, or maybe you're listening to a book.
Pause on that though. Cause there's like absorbing. And I think the thing that I was shooting for is like, we don't have as much processing time because we have so much time of absorbing and absorbing and absorbing. We don't have as much processing time as people used to, because we're always getting in front of something else. This is just something I've read in some
that makes sense.
Places.
I've actually thought about that because I do go about my day. You know, I listen to a lot, I read a lot, and I have to learn a lot from my work because I'm always learning about new systems, new tools, et cetera. And I have thought to myself, you know, if I was being more diligent about it, I would be sitting down at the end of my day and journaling through what I've learned or writing down more notes about what I've learned. So maybe there is something there. And I think that there is a piece to all of this where maybe it's not wrong to listen to a podcast while you're doing the dishes. But if that starts to creep into other areas of your life such that you're unable to process that, like, I learned pretty quickly in college, it's a terrible idea for me to try and listen to a podcast and code at the same time.
Right.
The level of brain activity required for me to code is just too high for me to pay attention to that podcast. The level of brain activity required for me to actually understand a podcast while I do the dishes is really low, right? It's totally. Just the trade-off is very different between those two different tasks, dishes and coding. So I think there's a time and place for some of this quote-unquote multitasking. But I think we have to learn to recognize that and learn when we can when we should be monotasking. And I think we should be monotasking a majority of the time.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And I think, I don't think it's wrong to multitask or anything like that. I'm just always curious in like, how do we, you know, what do we do with all of the stuff that we receive on a daily basis? And I'm always interested in how do we build little bastions for ourselves, you know, little.
What do you mean by that?
Like little fortresses or little like, what's the word I want? Havens is a better word, or gardens.
Like physical or like mental,
mental, physical, spiritual, like different places that are safe for thought. Or for cultivation, I think I like that word.
That's a good word.
Where there is space to not necessarily be moving forward, but to like to sit and reflect. If that makes sense,
I'm still not clear what you mean by that fortress or bastion. Though, like you mean literally a place in your house where you can go and sit and think, or like a mental retreat of something? Like what do you mean by that?
More like so, like
what does that look like? Is what I'm asking.
Hopefully this doesn't make things worse, but you know, I've used this quote a lot, but Robert Frost's definition of poetry, you know, a momentary stay against confusion. And so that's his definition of poetry is that it's a momentary stay against confusion.
Yes.
So that would be, I guess, mental, but it could also be poetical, literary.
Like, would this be an example of what you're talking about? I'm going about my day. I've just come out of a hectic meeting with whatever stakeholder at whatever client.
Right.
And I have a mental fallback to, or a scripture of, he will lift you up as on wings of eagles or something. I don't know.
It could be something like that.
A fallback like that? Or is it more like, I just came out of that meeting and now I'm going to go sit and do some deep breathing?
You know, I think it could be either one of those, maybe a combination of both. I'm thinking maybe right now the thing that pops to mind is, you know, in our conversation with Bryce about liturgy,
okay.
You know, talking about that kind of like that physical and mental and spiritual incorporation of the gospel into your day-to-day life, you know, would be one example of it, you know. So maybe you come out of that meeting and or you're overwhelmed by whatever elements of the day. You know, maybe it's going into a room by yourself and kneeling in prayer, you know, because it's kind of like a physical, mental reset.
You're talking about all of it. Go back to what you mentioned about the Platonic ideals with the different kinds of smoking.
Yeah, it's all of the things, you know, okay. or you know, it doesn't have to be, I think, religious necessarily. It could be, you know, maybe it's on your lunch break every day, you read a poem. It's like a different poem every day. And you spend 5 minutes just thinking about right. the poem. Something like that where, you know, I like the idea that maybe this is what Cal Newport means when he's talking about like the deep life or deep living or whatever. I'm not so familiar with Cal Newport's.
I think you would love ideas. Him. You should definitely go watch some of his videos and listen to a few of his podcasts.
I probably would. But, you know, thinking about not necessarily being always productive, but also maybe creative is the word I want. That might not be it. But
he's all about that, yes.
I figure that's probably what in his wheelhouse. But, like, I don't always have to be a machine who is, like, pumping stuff out and producing things and, like, my worth and my value are not determined in a capitalist sense by how much I output.
He points out that you know, he can't stand when people measure the quality of your work by the amount of activity that you've done.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
So like as a recent example, there was I think he said it was Manchester United, like the soccer club.
Right.
They had a work like the employees that run the club.
Right.
Had a work from home policy after COVID or work from home, and they've kept it like specifically Fridays or something. I don't know. Point being, the guy who runs the club, the president or CEO, I don't know what they call it, said, well, we're seeing 20% less email activity on Fridays when everybody's home. So we're going to start requiring people to come into the office. His logic was right. that email activity corresponded to actual work.
Right.
And Cal Newport was like, okay, Cal Newport himself is not for working from home necessarily.
Right. But email activity does not equal. Like,
it's not the same thing. Actually, right. You want less email activity because email activity most of the time it's just activity. It's not actual, you're not producing anything. You're not making money for the company. And if you right. work for someone, the goal is to make money for them, right?
Right.
And in our own lives, if we have this broad goal of glorify God and enjoy him forever, simply mm-hmm. doing the activities doesn't necessarily doing glorifying God and enjoying him forever.
Right.
And I think maybe that's what you're getting at.
Yeah, that is what I'm getting at. And I'm thinking especially of like the concept of like Sabbath and like rest.
Right.
Like
you're not doing activity, quote unquote. I have air quotes going. Can't see me, right. but I have air quotes going.
And there's also a degree to which like if we do try to put like if we try to make our Sabbath like productive, it gets like really legalistic really fast. You know what I mean? Like if we try and like if we're like, well, this is how much you can work, like this is the level of rest that you have to have. If it becomes like an output thing, like how much rest am I outputting into the world, it takes the whole point out of Sabbath. You know,
so here's the counterbalance, though, and kind of the pole in the other direction.
Sure.
You know, I've heard it said from good Christian men who I very much respect that doing the Sabbath well takes work.
Fair.
By which mean, so Saturday evening, you need to be preparing yourself so that you can have a meal ready on Sunday that you don't have to fully prepare, so that you can have someone over at, from church that you,
right.
that you run into, so that you can do hospitality well, so that you can ensure your wife gets the rest that she needs.
Yeah.
Which I could do a better job of that, to be completely honest. And so there's a lot of work that goes into rest.
Yes.
Which is, you know, and that's, I think, where, that's where people get confused. You know, they're like, well, you're getting legalistic because you're trying to, like, you're saying I have to do all these things to prepare for my Sunday, and Sunday totally. Should be all about rest. No, I'm trying to help you rest better. I'm trying to help you. And yeah. it's what Cal Newport's talking about with, and he's talking about it purely from a just work life perspective, right? He's not even bringing in Christianity into this. I don't even know if he is a Christian. He's just saying, he gets accused all the time of being like, oh, you're an ultra productivity nerd. Like, you're just trying to, you know, like body hack, whatever, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, I'm trying to help people live better lives.
Yeah.
But that takes work.
Right.
To get there.
Right. There's also like multiple kinds of ways to rest. Like, I don't nap. I can't nap. Like, it just does not happen.
You're missing out, bud. I thoroughly enjoy a good nap.
I can't do it. It just will never be part of my life.
It takes work to have a good nap, though.
It does take work to have a good nap. I'm fine with the fact that I will never take a nap on a Sunday afternoon. You know, like, that is just, it's not
sure,
going to be,
sure.
It's not going to be part. But I get a lot of rest from like writing, like to a certain extent. Like, there's some writing I won't do on Sundays because I don't think it's like super helpful. But like writing a poem that isn't going towards any like major project that I'm working on is a great way for me to rest.
Well, there's another distinction of like, as this little Forging Honor project becomes more of a thing for me in the sense of it becomes more work, right? It's over the last year and a half, it's slowly moved from, oh, this is a fun activity, to I'm putting real time and real effort into it. What that has meant is, at one point, it was something I would think about and sit down and talk about on Sundays. And now I'm going, okay, it's becoming more mundane in the sense of it's more like there's more work involved. Not mundane in the sense of like, I don't, you know, it's just a thing I do, but it's more worldly in a sense.
Profane.
Like, yeah. See, I don't like all these words because they have bad connotations, but you get what
yeah.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's gone from, oh, this is rest, to I thoroughly enjoy this, but like there's work involved.
It's vulgar.
Yeah.
It's another common word.
It's common. No,
it's
but
good.
You get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And,
I totally get it, yeah.
And so there's wisdom in that because, I think there are definitely there's definitely a time and place for certain things happening on a Sunday or on Sabbath, you know, and you might work all day on, you know, I know some folks that work all day on a Sunday and they're going to nursing homes and they're doing great work, visiting mm-hmm. the elderly and caring for the elderly. And my family used to do that at one point. Like, my point is, there's still work that happens on a Sunday. Your soul is resting from that somehow.
Yeah. And it really keeps, you know, to your point about like the podcast, it really keeps that thing from like consuming your life. Cause you have that thing, like I was trying to say, like that haven or that garden that is set apart, you know, that, you know, the line must be drawn here this far, no farther, you know, and you can't, whatever the thing is, it can't invade this space. And I think to bring it back, I think our rituals or our, you know, there are certain habits in our day that can become that space for us, you know, a haven of sorts, whether it's your, like your morning Bible reading or evening Bible reading or whatever, or it's like family devotions, or even if it's like, for me, it'd be like watching Saturday football, you know, or if it's the shave, you know, whatever.
Well, that's the thing. This is why shaving is not just a habit for me. It is a haven.
Yeah.
Like, it is my time.
Yeah.
And I'm there partially because it's a full, you know, 10-ish minutes of my day that, well, you know, daddy's shaving. Don't, you know, you're not going to bother him. Or maybe my son is in there watching me shave. I actually don't mind that. But like, I am shaving. Like, this isn't a time for distraction of the conversations of the day to day. I am shaving right now.
By the way, you know? I think I ought to take this moment since it's come up. To say a happy Father's Day to you, sir, as we're about to release on a
Father's Day?
It's coming up.
I don't take stock with such holidays, but I appreciate it. Sunday. Thank you. Thank you.
You're a father. We should say, it's a manly podcast. We got to celebrate the father.
We got to celebrate. Okay. We can celebrate it for the sake of, we are talking about men and manhood and masculinity and all that.
I thought I'd toss it out.
I appreciate it, Banjo.
But to your point, you know, as what we were thinking about shaving this over the last 6 weeks, like some of my earliest memories are watching my dad shave, you know, and pretending to shave along with him. You know?
My son has done the same. Actually, he grabbed my brush with the shaving cream on it and just got it on his face one day, and he was very serious about it. Like,
yeah,
he was. I am shaving like daddy, and I was like, okay, that's cool.
There's something great about that, you know. It's like the kid sees dad and does what dad does. You know, there's a bonding there. There's something very sweet. And you know, one day when he's old enough to shave for real, that's gonna be a very. There's another ritual. You know, you're gonna have to teach him how to do that.
It's passing on that particular, which is why I don't like a lot of the modern shaving accoutrement. It's just crass. It's a crass attack on the face. Anyway, moving past that.
I don't know if I can. That's too many images.
You've been highlighting this idea of havens. Mm-hmm. Are there, if you care to share for the podcast, specific havens that you've drawn out of this, either this exercise and ritual, or just specific havens that you have had? That you will continue to return to?
That's a good question. There's a few. I mean, I think running in the woods will always be a haven and a little bit of a ritual.
I love it.
For me, like, there is just some, like, that's where I'm home a little bit. And I got to do some bushwhacking in New Hampshire this last week, and just like go off trail and just explore the woods, and that was a ton of fun, and there was something very much like in that rhythm that felt right to me, where I felt like even though I was working really hard, I felt like I was resting. I felt like I was in the place that I was supposed to be. So that would be one. I think one that I want to reclaim is reading. Like, reading used to be much more of a haven for me. Like, where, you know, if I had 10 minutes, I was going to read. You know, if I had any opportunity to get away from schoolwork when I was a kid and read a book, that's what I was doing. You
that
know?
Goes back to that Art of Manliness episode we were talking about.
Yeah,
stealing the minutes.
Yeah, it was like that. I've gotten away from that, largely because I have a phone now, and the phone just eats up any spare minute that I have.
The phone steals your minutes.
Yeah. It's literally stealing my minutes. If I'm on that kind of a phone plan, that was not
that
funny.
Funny. It took me a second, but I haven't had a plan based on minutes in years.
It's a throwback.
Yes.
So anyway, books.
Younger listeners of the show are going to be like, what are they talking about?
T9 texting. That's a throwback.
You know, I still have, where is it? It's sitting right here. Here's my flip phone. Right here. Yeah. I switched to it on Saturday, or usually like Saturday evening, Sundays.
It's a good way to go.
And a lot less distraction that way. There's a little life tip for folks. If you have a SIM card that works for both a flip phone and a smartphone, pop out that SIM, pop it into your flip phone, dumb phone, whatever you call it, for Sundays or pick a day. And it's a great way to semi-unplug. Like, you can still get calls. But anyway, back to work. Your train of thought there, Banjo. I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
Oh, no, you're good. These are like not – that's very like helpful practical advice. I'm not giving any of that. I'm just saying, like, so like the last one I was thinking of was like sports. Like, right. I went to a bar and watched a baseball game last week, and it was like, it was so good.
That's awesome.
It was not the same as like going to a game and being there.
Sure, sure.
But it was so much fun. Actually, I was sitting next to somebody and I was really excited because my team was doing well. And so I was kind of like, you know, a couple of fist pumps in the air kind of a thing. And the guy next to me was like, "Are you betting on the game?" And I was like, "Nah, I'm just a fan." He was like, "Oh," like it was a little bit, it was a little bit weird to the guy to be like, why are you that excited about something that you don't have money on? I think, but I was like, this is just where I'm home a little bit. You know, this is where it makes sense to me.
I had a similar experience. So I went out with a mutual friend of ours, who I won't say his name on the podcast just because I haven't got his permission necessarily, but you know him. He lives near me.
Yeah.
And we were out just doing, it was a little like birthday celebration for him at a bar local here. And guess what was on? The baseball. NCAA track and field championships.
Oh, no way.
And like we ran on the same team together.
Yeah.
And here we are. And, you know, we love this sport so much. And we're like the only two people in the bar paying attention to this particular screen. But we're having so much fun watching these times. These guys blowing us away. And I was like, man, like, first off, I don't ever want to pay a subscription for, you know, ESPN, whatever was required to see that.
Right.
Because it's, you know, some channel that requires all this money, blah, blah, blah. Point being, I was like, I could totally get into this, like finding a bar, going to watch these tournaments. Diamond League came on later. Like it was this whole thing. Like the Olympic trials are going to be on. In a week. Next week, I think. So I'm like, I'm so excited. Like that's going to be a little haven for me, I think. Cause I had so much fun. I haven't watched running in a long time, not since college.
I think this might be, I wonder, it's funny that you and I had that like pretty much the same experience within a week, because I'm wondering if this will like come back for our generation post COVID now, because it had never occurred to me to do that growing up. We had
at the age that we were coming of age to go to a bar and watch a game.
Well, obviously
we all got locked down.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Like when we would have had that ability, it shut out. But now going there and like watching the sporting event, like around other people, and like to kind of like everybody just kind of gets into it, and you have like the beverages and the activities there. It's, folks, go check it out. Go try. It's fun.
I mean, don't go overboard, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. Responsible. The whole point of this episode is responsibility.
Responsibility. You know. Well, and that goes to, we don't have a ton of time left, but one thing I've been thinking about through this, partially because of this challenge, is, you know, when I'm slowing down, doing the monotasking, focusing on a particular thing, it necessitates that I have to value one thing over another in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I have to recognize that I'm valuing my work over, my enjoyment, over my play, whatever I'm doing. Not that one is technically bad for you, but one has to be prioritized in that moment.
In that moment, yeah.
Right. So the next step is, if I prioritize this work activity now, why is it that I'm allowed to prioritize something later? Like the question is, if this is the best thing for me right now, mm-hmm. why is it not the best thing for me later in the day? Because I could easily see how one could make the argument, well, I'm going to prioritize work and I'm going to keep prioritizing that because that is the best thing for me.
Oh, and never switch off.
And they never switch off. So like there has to be some kind of switch. There has to be a reason that it's okay, or that it's a good thing, actually. It's the best thing for me to go and relax in the evening, to go on a date with my wife, to go play golf with my buddies, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I don't have an answer to that yet. I haven't quite figured it out, other than I know that there are patterns for work and rest.
Yeah. There's always a pattern. We have a term for someone who can't switch off, you know, like someone who can only do the one thing is monomaniacal. Right. Like they're
a workaholic of some sort, right?
Yeah. Or work. Exactly. Like they're like, they're addicted to that thing. And I think again, with like the conversation about that is, it's really a conversation I think about like idolatry. Like if you're idolizing that one activity and not able to shut it off, you know, that's when you have a problem. Even so, you know, at the bar, this was interesting as well. People started talking to me, and one of the things I was thinking about is, well, I have two options here. I can either like kind of like ignore them and focus on the game and kind of like brush them aside, or I can like engage in these conversations here, and like playing that value game a little bit. Like, what am I called to do here? And I felt like I was called to like conversation there. Like that's that responsibility to take part in my community, like to take part in these needs of other people. I actually invited like three people to church as a result of that. I don't know if they're ever going to come. Sure. But like, I think that that ability to pivot and like to switch between roles is really important. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I did it particularly well or anything like that, but it was a lot of fun getting to talk to those folks afterwards. And I'm not really a people person anymore. Like that's not really my, I don't.
That actually surprises me, Banjo. You
know, I've changed. I've changed.
Yes.
I've mellowed.
Not the Banjo I knew.
Any as we kind of like step back from the challenge and we like move into new things, are there havens that will pop up for you, do you think, or are there other takeaways from this challenge as we're going forward that you're going to leave or take away?
I think there are some specific havens in terms of place, you know, my back porch being one of them. There are also specific havens in terms of the type of activities that I'm doing, such as smoking my pipe. But another thing I've learned is even the things that I don't necessarily see as that's a haven, if I monotask them and I fully focus on them, I can learn to enjoy them a lot more.
Yes.
And I've done that with my work. I've done that with some of the reading I've done, and just, or even just some of the quote unquote mundane tasks, you know, cleaning mm-hmm. my gutters and mowing my lawn.
Like, yeah.
When I'm actually focused on doing those things, and maybe I'm mowing the lawn with listening to podcasts. It's easy to do, right?
But maybe that's part of the ritual. You know,
that's part of it.
That's part of the monotasking in a sense.
And so I think kind of one of my big takeaways is anything that, like everything we've been talking about could apply to any of our regular activities, provided they're done in glory to God and in his enjoyment. So, yeah, I don't have that might be too broad of an answer. And usually I'm the one that likes specific answers. So, you know, we've kind of both learned
a lot. Fluctuated a little bit.
Yeah, we fluctuated.
It's been good.
But that's been good. Yes, good place to wrap this up though. So we are not going to be announcing our next challenge yet. We're going to be taking a break. It's going to have something to do with what we've been talking about as far as focus, and we've mentioned technology and stuff. So there's a little teaser. But we're going to take a brief break. Our next episode is actually going to be our first Forging Honor After Hours episode, which is going to be a conversation not related to a particular challenge, not related to a particular topic, but we're going to get in and talk about some things that we've just been thinking about and we want to talk about. And just have fun with it. It'll probably be a little bit longer than
our
standard episode.
More
relaxed. You know, we'll both have a drink in hand kind of thing, and it'll be a good time. So be on the lookout for that. And at the end of that episode, we will announce what the next challenge will be. And we'll also release like a separate, you know, challenge intro episode that's 10 minutes long or whatever. Anyway, I hope this has been a good, productive time digging into ritual for everyone that's listened along with us. I know it has been for me, and I know it's been for Banjo.
So. Yeah, appreciate you sticking through with it, JJ. I know this was not your favorite, like 2 weeks in, but glad you
stuck it out. It was a good lesson in commitment, if nothing else. I've enjoyed that. But
that's good stuff.
Good stuff.
This has been the Forging Honor Podcast. Music and production is by Elliot George. For more information about what we do or to learn how to get involved, visit our website at forginghonor.com.
If you enjoyed the show, make sure to like, subscribe, and give us a rating to bring others into the Forging Honor journey. On our website, you'll find information about our Patreon, articles, as well as links to the many resources we mention in the show.
Thanks for taking the time with us today. We hope you'll take up the work alongside us and join us in the task of Forging Honor. We'll see you next time.